This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph. I'm the executive director of the nonprofit organization that brings therapy animals to people in need of comfort and joy. And I'm so delighted to have Paloma Berchi with me. She is an animal communicator extraordinaire who lives in Switzerland, right? Is that right?
Right.
Yes. Okay, in Switzerland. And we've done several shows on the nuances of animal communication for those who want to go deeper. And today we're going to be talking about the three main blocks that people tend to experience when they are opening up their abilities to communicate with animals. So Paloma, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great. So tell us what inspired you to want to talk about the three main things that people, the challenges that people face when they're learning animal communication.
Well, I started teaching animal communication in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So quite some time ago.
Yes.
Over all those years, I have seen three main blocks that people come across over and over and over again. And it's, yeah, I think everybody experiences them. I experienced them, and everybody I know and everybody I taught has experienced them. So that's why I decided to create a mini course about it.
Okay. So tell us, what are the three main blocks?
Okay. So block number one is self-doubt.
Yes.
So, you know, like I start wondering, did I really hear that or was it my imagination? I mean, what if I'm wrong? You know, like, so you start doubting yourself. You're not sure whether you're receiving it or not receiving or making it up. Are you making it up?
Yeah.
And the problem is the moment you start to doubt yourself, you lose the connection.
Right, right.
You just shut down. And then you really have a self-talk with yourself. You end up having a self-talk with yourself. But not because it wasn't working, it's because you start to doubt it.
Right. So we all have doubt as human beings. It's the human condition. But when we go into the doubting brain, then we lose the connection brain. Because the connection brain and the doubting brain are different parts of ourselves, right?
So exactly.
It's like if you're, you know, talking to one person and you can't take the call from the other person. So if the doubt is taking over, then your connection diminishes or gets lost completely. Yeah. Okay. So what, how can people recognize that the doubt, you mentioned it starts to think, right? So if you're starting to think, did I do this? Is this true? Did I make it up? If you're starting to have that dialogue, that would be a clue that that a different part of yourself has taken the front seat. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Okay. And you really have to be aware of that. I mean, that's the key. You know, you have awareness. You have to have awareness. Where are you at? Are you in your brain or are you in your heart or what's happening right now? You know, so yeah.
Okay. So if a person starts to recognize that they're in self-doubt, how can they quickly get back to connection?
If you have self-doubt, it means really you're in your head.
Yes.
So there is a little exercise that I teach in my courses. The moment you notice you're in your head, you know, you just press down to your heart. You know, do you know these boxes that you have a feather in a spring? You have a spring inside, and then at the end of the spring, there is this clown head.
You know, in the box. Yeah, they call that here.
Yeah, exactly. So you open up the box and then this spring springs out, you know, like imagine yourself having such a box in your heart. And the moment you notice you're in your head, this means the lid has gone off and the spring has jumped into your head and you've got the clown head in your head. Now you take the clown head and just press it down back to to the box and close the box again.
Okay.
And then you're back in your heart.
So get back to the heart. So we all have these moments where the head kicks in and wants to interpret, analyze, and doubt. And the trick is notice that that is what has happened. Make a deliberate choice to push that clown back down and go right back into your heart. Okay, great. Yeah, that's so good because, we hear this from students all the time as they're first learning. The first thing out of their mouth is, well, I'm not sure if I made this up, but, you know, that's what we hear when the doubt is kicked in. Yeah, good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the second biggest block?
Okay, the second one is pressure and expectations.
Ooh, yeah.
So, you know, pressure that you put yourself under pressure, you know, like I have to know now how it works. I have done this course and, you know, it I'm doing everything, you know, that I'm supposed to do. And this is supposed to work and it's not working, you know, like, and maybe block number one kicks in and says, well, am I really doing this, you know, and you're putting yourself under pressure. And maybe you have also the expectations from other people that puts you under pressure. I mean, that happened to me in my very, very first case. I had this friend and this friend had a mother and this mother had some cats. And one of the cats was peeing on the floor, you know, on the carpet. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to know why this cat was peeing on the carpet. And so I thought it was a good idea to go to the house, her mother's house. And there I was sitting on the couch. And you can imagine, you know, my friend standing next to the couch to the right, the mother standing left on the left side of the couch, standing, you know, next to the couch, both watching, looking at me, you know, the cat was in front of me and I could feel this pressure, you know, this expectation from these two women. I knew in that very moment, this is not going to work because there is so much pressure. And I started to think, how stupid are you to put yourself in this situation? And that made it even worse.
Right, right, right.
So really, you know, if you put yourself under pressure, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And
because pressure is an energy force. It's like an energy field and it's like a competing noise. So if you're wanting to open your channel to communicate with animals, you need you can't have that extra energy. It's like a little hurricane going on. You can't listen to your favorite music when you've got a hurricane going on, right? So pressure is like a little hurricane in the mix. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, when I started with animal communication, I got invited onto the TV, and I remember Spot. You know, Spot is one of my animal mentors and part of my dream team. And I remember Spot saying, "Never ever try to do a communication live or on camera because you'll put pressure on it." And telepathic communication is really a language from heart to heart. And if you put a heart under pressure, it stops beating.
Ooh.
And I love that.
Yeah. That's really, really good. Really good. Yeah. Wild. Okay, great. So we've talked about self-doubt, number one, pressure and expectations, number two. I know I had that because one of my animal communication teachers, I had so much respect for him and his ability and was so impressed with him. I just thought, oh, I can never do what he does, you know, and that set me back a long time, you know, because I admired him. I mean, it was a nice feeling, but I just didn't think I could do what he could do. So
comparison is really, I mean, that's bad. That's really bad. You can't compare yourself to somebody else because we are all individuals and we are all different. Yes. And so we really have to have this feeling And you have to know how it feels for you. You know, nobody can tell you, you have to feel that way and then it's going to work. Because everybody feels it different. Everybody gets the information different. Everybody is different.
Right.
So really you have to find it out for yourself. How is it for you? Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be like it is for somebody else.
Exactly. That's so important. You know, it's one thing to, you know, to have people that you admire and to learn from them and so on. But in the end, you really have to recognize, oh, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to be somebody that hears message, or I'm going to be somebody that sees images, or I'm going to be somebody that gets feelings, or I'm going to be somebody who just knows things, you know, just like an instant knowing. So to just recognize that you have your own unique style, that however anyone else does it is right for them, and however you do it is right for you. That's a huge learning curve, you know, especially there's in our society, there's so much pressure to conform to some set of standards that, you know, become another form of pressure.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is that from my experience, people that expect to see images, they usually don't. Maybe there comes the block number two, expectations, you know,
right.
Kicks in. Yeah, like, so people that expect to see images, they don't get images. You know, they get, some of them say, I hear words. That's so weird. Yeah, but that's the way you get the messages. So if you hear words, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to see images. Well, if you want to, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I remember I was in one class, which turned out not to be one of my favorite classes, but I was in one class and they put so much pressure on you have to feel the sensations in the animal's body. And I would go in and I felt nothing. And I'd listen to other people and they'd say, okay, the tail is this and the foot is that and the belly is this and that and the other. And I'm like, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, maybe I don't know if that will change for me, or it's just, I just don't get that. You know, sometimes I do, but for the most part, I am not somebody that feels what the animal feels. What about you? Do you feel what the animal feels? Is that one of your things, or you do?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So some people really do. Some people really will feel that. Okay, good. So what's number three? What's the third biggest block?
Okay, the third biggest block is lack of inner stillness.
Oh, yes. Lack of inner stillness. Yes. Tell us more about that.
Well, we've got so much going on in our lives, you know, that we seldom find stillness. Mm-hmm. And stillness is so deep. And we really need to take the time to calm down, to arrive at our center, to center ourselves, to just be still and give it the room that it needs, you know, because animal communication needs room, you know, it needs space. Give it the space it needs to unfold.
Yes.
Because if you are under stress and you cannot come to inner stillness, then it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so fascinating, you know, to think about the space that animal communication needs, not only in terms of necessarily physical space like a room, but the energetic space, so the state of mind, you know, that if you're in a peaceful state, you're going to be able to easily to communicate with animals. And if you're not in a peaceful state, you're not going to be able to communicate easily, you know. So that's such a great thing to really think about. Wonderful. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I want you to tell us some of your favorite stories of animal communication that just really touched you, maybe with your own animals or clients that you've worked with. So we'll be right back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book,
The Human-Animal Connection, deepening relationships with animals and ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, and we're speaking with Paloma Berchi about animal communication. So I'm dying to hear the story that you have that you were going to tell us about Spot, the rabbit, your animal, one of your animal guides. Tell us about Spot.
Yeah, right. So when I started with animal communication, I mean, we're talking about the three core blocks in animal communication. And this story ties so nicely into that. Because when I started animal communication, I had this rabbit called Spot. And I had done the basic course and I had done the advanced course and I was speaking with animals and I wanted to speak with my rabbit. And so I walk up to my rabbit, do the connection, and I get the following response.
Mm-hmm.
I am a philosopher. You are not at my level. You are not going to understand me. Keep on learning.
Yes. Okay. So here you go to go and talk to your animal as you've learned in the course and say, Spot, would you talk to me? And you get that answer.
I get that answer. No. Like you get this, that answer. And one of the ways I get information from the animals are words.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got those words. Now imagine myself being there. Look, Paloma, you've got a good fantasy. This is impossible that this has, you know, just come out of your fantasy. Even if you have a good fantasy, no way this phrase has come out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, I'll accept that. So I kept on learning.
Mm-hmm.
After a couple of weeks, I come back to Spot and you get the exact same answer. I am a philosopher. You're not at my level. You're not going to understand me. Keep on learning.
Mm-hmm.
Go on for a couple of more months. Come back. Get the same answer. After half a year, get the same answer. After a year, get the same answer. After 1.5 years, get the same answer.
Yeah.
You start to think you're making this up.
Right.
Like, this can't be true. I mean, I'm talking to other animals. What's wrong here?
Right. So you're talking to all the other animals, other people's animals, you know, down the street, other animals, and your animal saying to you, I'm a philosopher. You're not at my level. Come back when you're ready, when you've learned.
Exactly. Yeah. So after 2 years, he started talking to me. He hasn't stopped since. So I'm very, very, very happy and very grateful.
Yes. That's amazing.
But this really shows you have to be persistent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't just give up.
Right.
You know, if you really want something, then you have to be persistent and you have to keep on learning and you have to keep on, doing the exercises and maybe, you know, if you're learning animal communication and you have such an animal at home, this might be another Spot, you know. This might be your animal challenging you, you know. Keep on learning.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, it's so funny because as you first started the story, outside my window, a little wild rabbit just came from the yard and came and sat right and looked right at me for a moment and then scampered off. So, yeah, thank you, Spot, for sending a little rabbit to our podcast. Well, that's great. Well, I know you have a couple of exercises that you'd like to share with our listeners so that they can work on their animal communication skills. What are you going to teach us?
Yeah, so one is the humming breath.
Humming breath, okay.
The humming breath. And the humming breath is very good because it sets your body into a vibration. So a vibration goes through your body, runs through your body when we do that. And this actually relaxes the body. Yeah. So it's very easy. You can do it anywhere.
Okay.
So you can do it when you're walking or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we breathe in, let's do it together. We breathe in, and then when we breathe out, we just hum with closed lips.
Okay.
So let's breathe in.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And
I like
it's,
that.
It's so interesting because when you hum, your exhalation gets much longer than when you normally inhale and exhale.
Right.
And what you can also do is you can change the range of humming.
Okay, the pitch, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll see that the vibration is different.
Mm.
If you do a high humming or a low humming, the vibration that you feel in your body is going to be different. Mm. Let's try that. Let's do that.
Are we going to do high or low?
We start high and go to low.
Okay.
Okay. So let's breathe in.
Fun.
Did you notice the difference?
Oh, yeah. Very interesting. I love it. That's very fun. It's very calming. It really gets you into your body. You know, it's like you can't hum and be in your head at the same time. Well, maybe you can, but it just seems like it really helps you to really just be right here, right now, that in that quiet stillness. It's kind of fun to do it with you, you know, to kind of harmonize my sound with your sound. So we get into that sync. I have to try that with the high school students we work with in our Canines Teach Compassion class, where we bring the therapy dogs. We like to do little relaxation exercises to help them. I like this one because this, I think teenagers could do this without a lot of resistance. So that's
great. Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's a really good one. Really good one. So when do you use this humming? Do you use it before your sessions or during?
Yeah, you can use it before you do a session, you know, before you start your animal communication session, just to, you know, get into your body, get relaxed and center yourself. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, great. And what else were you going to show us? I know you're going to teach us.
Okay, so the second exercise, don't do it along with us if you're driving or anything,
right?
Doing anything else, because, we're going to have to close your eyes. So don't close your eyes if you're behind the wheel.
Right.
Okay, so I call it the heart bridge.
Heart bridge.
Heart bridge, yes.
Okay.
The heart bridge exercise.
Okay.
So you put one hand, or you can put both hands on your heart, close your eyes, and breathe deeply a few times. And with every breath, you relax more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine your animal in your heart space. And it's actually very easy for people to imagine their animal in their heart space.
Mm-hmm.
No. And the importance of feeling your animal in your heart space and not in your head is because, according to the Heart Math Institute, they have made studies on energies, magnetic energies in your heart and the brain. And that energy is 5,000 times stronger when it comes from your heart than it when it comes from your head.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means if you think something, your animal is not going to get it.
Mm.
If you feel it, then your animal is going to get it. So that's why feel your animal in your heart space. And now you connect with your animal by melting these two energies together. So when you feel your animal and you feel your heart, and then you melt both energies together, and then you can stay there as long as you want and just melt with your animal. And you can communicate with your animal, or you can just feel your animal. And maybe your animal will give you some messages. Yeah? The moment you feel you're in your head again, stop it. Just, you know, put yourself back into your heart space.
Mm-hmm.
So important to stay in your heart space. Yeah, and when you're ready, thank your animal for having been in your heart space.
Yes.
And then you can open your eyes again.
It's lovely. Very, very lovely. Very, very simple. Very, very pleasing. I think that animal communication should be wonderful. I mean, of course, sometimes we're hearing sad stories and so on, but the experience should be very much about the heart space, you know, being just receiving and letting the animal come into your loving heart space. And yeah, from there,
yeah,
all interest can be heard. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. You know, I believe that animal communication isn't something we do, but it's something we allow.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's a very nice distinction. Instead of like, I'm going to do my grocery shopping or I'm going to do my taxes, you know, that's a doing, but I'm going to allow my animal in my heart space and just receive what they would like to offer, what they would like to share. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have just a moment or two left. Is there one story you want to leave our listeners with that will help them to feel joyous about animal communication?
Just believe in yourself. I think that's the most important message.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself. And, oh, hold on, Spot just kicks in.
Okay. So we want to hear from Spot. Go ahead.
So believe in yourself, but believe also in your animal. Because I have been told by the animals that when you doubt what you get, you're not doubting yourself, you're doubting the ability of the animals to communicate with you. Because let's say you talk to a three-year-old child and you have to explain to this three-year-old child what three apples are. So how do you do that? You take an apple, put it on a table, say, this is one apple. You take a second apple, put it next to the first one, say, this are two apples. Take a third apple, put it next to the third, the second, the two times. The two apples. And you say, these are three apples. One, two, three apples. That's how you explain it to a three-year-old. Yeah, what three apples are. You don't take a piece of paper, write 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, and you write apples next to it.
Right.
You don't do that. Right. Why don't you do that? Because the three-year-old cannot read and it cannot make any math.
Yes.
So
yes.
You know how you have to talk to a three-year-old in order for the three-year-old to understand what you are saying to them. We are the three-year-olds in the animal communication.
Ah.
So the animals know how they have to transmit what they want to transmit.
Right, right. That's a great image. We're all three-year-olds when it comes to animals. You know, their ability to communicate is so profound and so clear and so easy, so natural. And we, at our three-year-old level of awareness, have a ways to go. We just do.
And you know, the three-year-old doesn't doubt you. The three-year-old believes what you're telling them.
Yes, right.
So let's behave like three-year-olds.
Okay.
And believe what the animals are telling us.
Be innocent, joyous three-year-old children, believing, trusting.
Yeah.
That's great. The joy of that. That's lovely. What a lovely conversation. Well, this has been entirely delightful, Paloma. Where can people find you if they want to do a session with you or get to know you or learn more about your work?
They can go to www.speciesspace.com.
Species space, right? S-P-E-C-I-E-S space.com. Okay. So yeah. That's where to find Paloma Berchi. She is in Switzerland, but you can communicate with her from wherever you are. And you do sessions with people all over the world, right?
Yes, right.
Okay, great. So that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the Human Animal Connection podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. And thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next episode. Aloha for now. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.